Off the Ball. GAA.
But like saying that, Cork and Limerick are definitely up there. They're definitely probably the two favourites with All-Ireland, really looking at for current form or the squads, they probably the team that they potentially could put down on paper.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, I think it's a big, big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late, late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy. Really well.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Everyone, the room is full.
Did it?
Loud,
yeah.
Full house. Yeah.
It's really full.
No mics are up, are they?
Are they?
Oh, I've got no earphones. Oh, I do, yeah. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How are we?
Hello.
How are we?
Hello.
Yeah, full house.
Good show.
Loads of voices.
I have no idea what's on it.
Oh, you do? Do you know what?
There,
we just did it. There you go.
Mike Phillips is on at 8 o'clock. Seamus Flanagan at 8:30. Oh. Mike Phillips is actually in Dubai. Andy McGrath is the author of this book, Pogacar the Unstoppable. And Johnny Courtney is going to join us around about 9:30 to talk about some of his jerseys.
Yeah.
Absolutely stacked, isn't it?
Full the show room.
Listen, I didn't want to mention it, but appreciate it.
Ever since Arthur's gone, the guest list has gone up. Is that shade at Arsenal? At Arthur?
Wow. You see, they can't know what they do, Arsenal. They're doing their own business in this instance.
That's disgrace. Poor Arthur is like just sitting at home, listening, stroking the cat, going, I wish I was in with the lads, I missed them.
You're like, he's watching. Do you think he tunes in still, no?
Oh, yeah.
When he wakes up.
Yeah. His only sense, he's probably still asleep.
Wait,
yeah.
Yeah. But you can listen back.
Half 7, he did say he was going to continue to get up relatively. I mean, this is a lie on.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you had to see 2.5 hours extra or so.
So lots happened last night in the football. Mm. You were like, you want to start with Aston Villa, you want to? Pedro scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, he did. What's going on? Look, I looked at the 11. I chose Brighton Arsenal as I committed to that yesterday. You're watching the boys. Look at the Villa side, it's pretty good, right? So this, I don't know why this is happening.
I'll stop you there. Dan Bardell tweeted before the game, far be it from me to criticise a team before the game has even started, but whoa. And underneath it, the comments were like, oh my God, we're going to get hammered tonight. I thought 4-0 before, now I think maybe 4-1 or worse was one of the other ones. I'm like, oh. And I was reading that this morning going, they knew. If you know, you know.
What's going on?
It turns out.
So they were outperforming their XG and all that.
Yeah.
Jonathan Wilson was big on that. So they were like as high as third once upon a time, Aston Villa, in very recent memory. So they're overperforming. Like, I would have thought like
the weekend.
No. When a few weeks ago when they were winning games, you know, when they were proactively getting third rather than they're getting there because of the rest of the league.
Because they had an 11-point lead.
So they're doing really well. But I always felt it's not as good of a squad as last season. Doing better.
Rashford and Asensio were way better than the players that they've signed since and even let go since. But like, Tony O'Malley has been really good for Roma.
Mm.
Has something very different to offer to Aston Villa than any of the players they've signed to replace him or any of the players that are at squad at the moment. And for whatever reason, they decided, I don't know, did the Leon Bailey thing force their hand? Was there a PSR thing? Like, they were like, oh, he wants to play through the middle and we've got no room for that. And then we signed Tammy Abraham. And people won't have seen this game last night, but it's 1-1. Douglas Luiz scores an absolutely sensational goal. And it's fair that it's 1-1. Chelsea have a great chance. Ball gets punted down the pitch. There's a 4-on-2. Morgan Rodgers releases Ollie Watkins. And Watkins scores. Not a great shot, and he's just had a bad shot before, but it goes in and he wheels away in celebration and does the Rob Edwards kicking something that isn't really there. And sure, of course, it's offside. Of course, it is. Like, by a.
This is like his knee
hair.
His kneecap was offside.
Patella was the.
Yeah.
His errant patella. Great name for a Villa podcast. Anyway, I think that's there. That's I was typing out. That is Emi Martinez getting sent off against Man United last year. That is the end of their Champions League ambitions.
Do you think?
Well, it turns out that all the teams around them have flaws, like we saw at Man United and we saw with Liverpool. So they're still in fourth and they just have to finish fifth. The way it's going at the minute, you wouldn't be backing them to suddenly rescue their form against Lille over two legs in the Europa League. So there's no guarantee that this team's going to have Champions League football next season. Well, at which point everything starts to just stink a bit. Mm. Their signings have not been good. Gesson, their big money signing is at Crystal Palace and already gone. Nobody lasts. Alisson looks okay, but like he's playing in a team that was beaten 2-0 coming off the bench by Wolves and then absolutely annihilated last night coming off the bench against Chelsea. So it's hard to tell. He's a kid.
Is Morgan Rodgers tired?
The pre-match analysis from Joe Cole and Crouchy was like, everybody now understands that because Tielemans and McGinn are out of the team, that if you just double mark him, then they'll have not very much else by way of, you know, Ollie Watkins, leave him alone. He'll shoot straight at the keeper.
It's funny that it's down to Tielemans though, isn't it? Because like, their profile is creativity around the place a little bit, right? Like Emi Buendia, I suppose you're never really getting him back fully fit, but this guy, you're buying him for his creativity from Norwich. Like this guy was doing well in the Premier League. To a much lesser extent, like I don't know what really happened with Ross Barkley, if Luton was his kind of swan song to potentially being as good as he could be.
He's been injured since, and he cost 10 million. So
again, I'm not saying he's going to run the game for you, far from these days, Ross Barkley. But again, him at his best, what he gives you is a bit of creativity, a bit of spark. But it does seem to be down to Tielemans.
Well, Kamara's gone as well.
Yeah.
Kamara was their best defensive.
He always seems to get injured at the really important moments, doesn't he?
Well, he's had two ACLs since he's been at Villa.
Yeah. Smashing player.
There's also Rodgers as well. So is it more so that they have no one to pass it to because everyone's quite similar? There's little overlaps.
Like, they have a brilliant manager who is getting a lot out of the players who are in the team, but the players in the team may have been overperforming as a collective, and you take out their best players and suddenly everybody's looking at this going, well, so it's Tyrone Mings at the back there. We'll be all right here. You know, Tyrone Mings is grand, but they're all grand for that group of teams from 7th to 15th. Mm. Like Ross Barkley. Yeah. It's been a long time since he was at Chelsea. A long time. Since he's been good.
Well, Everton, like that was the memory. Yeah. Everton was the memory.
Is there any chance Malin comes back or is he...
I don't think so. I think there's like a... I think that was actually one of the few permanent deals. If memory serves, they did him permanent and they did Tammy Abraham permanent and they had to... They were... the money was... all part of the same.
I
could be wrong about that, but
It was 13 hours ago reported set to sign Daniel Malin permanently from Villa.
There was a trigger. Yeah.
It's an obligation.
It was a low amount. Was it like 25 million or 30 million?
20 million pounds.
Yeah.
Now you were actually reaping the rewards of your early form, like because you sort of Champions League places.
Oh, yeah.
Fourth here this morning and 3 points, 3 points clear of the team that you got hammered to.
But they would be 9 points clear if they'd won their home game last night.
Yeah.
A little bit like you, I was counting my chickens when they were 1-0. I was live scoring the, just click on the table there and see, oh, that's a brilliant table. That's amazing. Yeah. 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, God.
Does this mean that XG is always right?
I mean, no, but maybe.
I wasn't counting chickens. I was just
Your message excited to the group was
God
like,
forbid a United
sneaky,
fan gets excited.
Sneaky big gap here between Man United and everybody else now in the rush for Champions League qualification.
I don't think I was counting chickens.
No,
we managed to pull off a big result here.
If I was on your legal team, we'd have a very strong case here.
Exactly.
I was there.
Thank you.
It was literally, this will happen if this happens.
Yeah.
There's no celebration. It was objective.
I didn't say when.
If anything, you should be coming at me here because when Arsenal went one up against Brighton, I says to his, you can turn this off.
Yeah.
I finished one.
This is,
I was thinking this morning, right?
You were 100% correct.
I know, but that was counting chickens and it happened to be correct. You know what I mean? But that is Arsenal for you, right?
Is this a humble brag?
No.
It's well, a little bit.
No. They scored in the 7th minute.
Went from defending me to...
Right?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I was incredibly prescient last night when I was watching this football after 5 minutes. Like,
well, that's a good point. I didn't say that. They're not my words, though.
What?
I didn't say that I was prescient. But that's interesting you said it. So they scored after 7 minutes, right? When was Arsenal's next chance? Anyone notice?
They had 0.01 XG at half-time.
Well, Neves on a bad show. The 57th minute, which is a wild swing by Saka, right? Yeah. These guys...
Their goal isn't even a chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
It's an absolute nightmare for the keeper.
It's shocking. That's what he says to you. Jammy Gooners, right?
But they'll do it.
I was thinking they should just totally own the fact that they're complete bastards. You know, if they just owned it a bit more, if there was just a little bit more Diego Simeone, a little bit more Jose in them, I think people would have this much more grudging respect for them. But in I don't think that they've stated their claim that way.
Would you not say that in the last week, in fairness to Mikel Arteta, he's like, yeah, I mean, obviously I want to win better, but I want to win.
No,
and also he's like,
obviously
he would say that.
But that was always the thing with Arsenal, right? Throughout like the years, the last like 10 or 15 years, that whenever they played anyone, it was they were soft, they were weak.
They couldn't cut it against Chelsea.
I saw a clip going around about when Drogba scored a goal for Chelsea against Arsenal. I know this is years ago, but I think Martin Tyler's on commentary and he says something like, same old story. Arsenal played a football, Chelsea scored the goals or something like that, Chelsea win the game, blah blah blah, whatever. And it's like Arsenal have quite literally turned that on its head, you want to give us about us bullying you in the box, but we're going to do it because you give out about us playing nice football for years, so now we're going to turn it. I totally get that, but I will say it doesn't make it any better to watch because it's an absolute nightmare to look at.
I think they owned what you've identified there in the past. Yeah. I think Arsene Wenger, he owned that style of football. This is like a creative team. Yeah. The top four was the big thing for them, coming forth like a trophy. And that was their thing, right? But I just think if they're just a little bit more outwardly bastards, but like, we don't care what you think of us, which might be the truth. But if they just said that a bit more, I think there'd be a much more grudging respect for them. That was a dire match last night, Brighton Arsenal, but I stuck with it. I wanted to watch it, right? I wanted to see, can I see anything in this? And there's a nice bit of play in midfield at times. Eze has a lovely turn in him, as we know. There are borders there.
Not exciting. You watched Brighton and Vinny was in yesterday. He said he'd seen them at the weekend. But listen, I was out for a while listening to the lads on the radio last night, and Keith Tracy was saying that actually Brighton were playing quite well in parts of the game.
Yeah, but this was Arsenal's strength, is like they give you so little. So little. Now, as it goes, Brighton manager Fabian Hertzler, I think we have a clip of this from last night, right? So he was speaking afterwards. So he wasn't going to take the 1-0 defeat lying down verbally, at the very least. He was disappointed with some decisions. Have a listen here. This is Fabian Hertzler talking last night to Brighton manager. Do we have that?
That's David Silva.
Yeah. Yeah, in the end, we have to accept the decision. It's more about, for me, that he handles the other things better in general. The Premier League needs to find the rule, because I think that's not football what Arsenal did there. And therefore, that was more the point that I made to him.
When you say handle the other stuff, what specifically do you mean that we saw tonight?
I think everyone saw it, and therefore everyone has to make his own opinion. I said it before the game, and I think now we shouldn't use too many words about this. We should more focus on the performance, what we did well tonight.
Just in terms of that, though, what do you think a potential solution might be to change that?
Netto game time, giving more yellow cards for where time wasting. So you know, I can ask you, did you saw a goalkeeper going down 3 times in the game?
Not very often, I guess.
So, I think that's it.
I loved how the interviewer was absolutely terrified to answer that last question. Not very often, I guess.
Did he misunderstand the question? Did you actually see him go down 3 times a game? Or did Hertzler actually ask him, have you ever seen that before? Because it sounded to me like, did you not just see what Raya was doing?
Yeah, I think that is what
it is. As opposed to like, not very often, I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Wasn't watching.
Yeah, he was incredulous. He was like, you get it, buddy. Have you ever seen that before? That's ridiculous.
So you think he's whining?
Who?
Hertzler. Little crybaby, was that what you said?
When?
When did I say that?
What's going on here? No, I think we'll get on to Bernardo Silva.
Okay, that's so Bernardo Silva was a little crybaby.
That's what I said that about.
Just before we get to the other clip, Bernardo Silva.
Do you think he's whining? Because I think he's... Are they not right to call him
out? No, I think he's correct.
But he's got moral authority here for a little minute.
That's my point. So it's coming in this morning. Listen to that Hertzler video.
Yeah.
I sent it. I was like, I'd love to play this because I think like this is a perfect time for Arsenal to be like, yeah, we're shithouses. As I just own it, just own that it, little bit more. Just that little bit more come out and be
Arteta's
like,
been at this for a few days. Sorry, he was saying Arteta, this a few days ago. Like, yeah.
That was put to Arteta. And Arteta was like, well, obviously he'd say that.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything you could say in that tone about it without it coming across as though you're whining a little bit. I also think Hurst is under a wee bit of pressure.
He right, kind of pulled back on it even in that video, and your man, the interviewer comes back to it again, so he was kind of forced to talk a bit more.
I can't speak. I thought Hurst did quite well there. It's like, this is time wasting and it's terrible.
They had some big chances last night, Brian.
Yeah.
But I just, genuinely, when Arsenal went ahead, I just can't see them. No, I can't see them losing this from here or dropping points from here. That is, I think what Arsenal is, I trust them. This is the opposite of the Wolves thing yesterday. I trust them in the games that people look away a little bit more. I trust them in those games that you should be winning. I think they've nailed that type of a game by and large. They'll drop the odd point here and there to Wolves, funny enough. Yeah. But generally speaking, I think their strength this season has been like you kind of trust them in those games much more than you used to.
And more than you can trust City, it turns out.
Well, City, Jesus, so we're getting on to City. Well, first of all, Morgan Gibbs-White. Oh,
wow.
Douglas Luiz is better.
No, Douglas Luiz has been there, and Lee Sharp did that 30 years ago.
No, whatever.
Douglas Luiz only copied him. But this Douglas Luiz, or Warren Gibbs White, the closest thing I can see that was Thierry Henry against Charlton.
Yeah, you don't see Highbury. That type of back heel.
But even
often.
Then, this was more difficult.
His eyes after the match, he looked. Did you see him? He met Pep after the game on the pitch, and he's just, I was like, that guy looks like he's in a trance.
State of shock.
No, he's just.
Lowest day.
I don't know.
He was coming down from Blowstead.
What if I just died?
Exiting Blowstead.
It was extraordinary, you know. There was lots to it. So Man City dropped points last night. They feel they should have had a penalty at the end. So this, do you see this? This is Haaland going down. This is your classic thing where the true ball and the striker just gets there in front of the goalkeeper and he goes down. Is it momentum? Did he get clipped? Anyway, Bernardo Silva spoke afterwards on television. I think we have the clip here. Yeah, we do. Have a listen here.
The feeling in the dressing room, it was a very frantic ending to the match. You know, there was a couple of penalty claims in there. How is everyone feeling about the way some of the decisions unfolded?
Well, I would say that we're quite used to it this season because all the 50-50s have gone against us. It's the reality. I've just watched, for example, the Erling incident, and for me it's a penalty. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Some people might have a different opinion. For me, it's
the one with the goalkeeper.
Yeah, the one with the goalkeeper, because like what can Erling do? But as I said, we're used to it this season. We know how it works, and for us to do, our job is just to be better, try to be better, because these things we cannot control. What we can control is our own performances, and that's what we need to focus on.
You know, Bruno Fernandes says that he gets a lot of grief for his wild gesticulations, and he was like, "It's actually, I'm not even the worst in Portugal for it."
He's
it's like, have a look at Bruno Silva, because he'll be more verbal, be non-obvious.
He's clever about it.
Yeah, well, he wasn't so clever there, was he? That was so direct, like, so he'd have lost every 50-50 this season.
Yeah, every single one of them.
This is backs against Waldorf. So this is City, and City, you can't trust them. Like, who would have thought you couldn't trust Pep Guardiola's Man City?
Was it a penalty for you?
No. But not. I could see it go both ways. I thought he ran into the keeper.
6-1, half
it. Yeah,
yeah.
Does the keeper get away with it because he turns his hands?
His back? But I actually do think that's doing your best to avoid contact, because your momentum is going into stopping the ball. There's nothing you can do then. I think Haaland was able to see my foot here. If it was given, I wouldn't have been outraged. But
Haaland's touch obviously takes the ball so far away from.
Yeah.
He had to go down,
It's like the game's at 2-1 as well at that point.
Yeah, but
the
Murillo goal line clearance at the very end is epic and may keep Forest up.
Yeah.
It's one of those at the opposite end of the season. West Ham obviously won last night as well.
Massive win for West Ham. Impressive win too. And Fulham only after playing Spurs off the park over the weekend.
Yeah, that side of the table's getting really, really interesting.
God, it's amazing.
Really interesting.
I was having a look at it there this morning. I think if you're a Spurs fan, your eyes are probably more drawn to Leeds at the moment.
Yeah.
Leeds
is
towards
that territory now.
And West Ham.
Other teams
it can all change very quickly. I don't think Forest are amazing, but they have performances in them.
Got
some very good players, you know.
Yeah. So there's the odd side here and there. They're like, they seem a bit too good to go down. It'd be a shame if they just, you know, West Ham 2003.
Yeah,
I like that Blackpool side. Remember that one on Holloway?
The one and done.
Yeah, but with Forest, it was like, it'd be a real shame if they went down. Like, they should not be going down with the squad that they have.
Yeah.
So United fans counting their chickens, checking the live score app to see. Ooh, look at that little cheeky little gap between them and teams in fourth and fifth. But Paul Scholes, tell me, explain this to, you know, to me who knows nothing about how these things work. What happened? What's Paul Scholes doing here?
Like Instagram. So he posted on his Instagram story last night. I think it's since been deleted.
It's not
there anymore. Yeah.
Does that signify regret? Might he have been a few. Advice. He had a few light shandies beforehand. Is it
social media manager?
Yeah.
Paul Scholes is a social media manager, do you?
No, I don't think he does, but he might do.
So Paul Scholes posted on his Instagram story last night, and like, you know when you cover your camera to make it a black background so you can put white writing over it?
No, he did that. That's what happens, is it?
In very small writing.
Is there not like a default black background for... No?
I don't think so.
I think you'd have to take a picture.
It was like an oversight on the good people of Meta.
Yeah, I'm sure there is a way, but it's probably just quicker.
That idea for nothing.
Probably just quicker to take a picture, you know?
Yeah. He's written on this story, on this black background, "Michael has definitely got something special about him, ... because United have been crap last four games, ... Knight, Kiss Face, Tonali, Love Heart."
Game recognised game, yeah. Tonali.
Some love for Tonali there.
Yeah. That's obviously what it's about.
Felt like, you know, when someone means to post on their private story and goes public with it, but he's really public. Yeah.
I think
he's definitely meant to put it there. I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I can't even see him writing that.
It is very weird, isn't it? Mm. As a big Manchester United fan, Colin, what do you make of these
these developments?
What do you make of these class of 92 guys?
I actually... I don't really mind what they say. Like, I don't see the whole outrage about it. People say, like, Gary Neville has an ulterior motive. Like, it's just for United to get better. Like, that's the way I can see it. I think he's honest about it. I think, the look isn't great from Scholes. Just even the design of the story doesn't look that great. Yeah, it's, like, slanted writing.
So he's gone on his story. He's written that, and then he's gone to turn it sideways.
He was like, oh, fuck. And did it, and he couldn't get it back. Yay. And then he was like, bang, I'll just send it anyway. Let's get my point out there, you know? So it was a bit 2013 looking. But the opinion is 2026, because I actually think he has a point, right? United actually haven't been particularly great in the last few games, you know? Crystal Palace game, you'd overlook the performance, they got the result done. West Ham away, haunted, got there in the end. Mm.
Palace,
like you say, and then Everton the other game. Everton was a great game. Apologies. So, like, they haven't been that great. But at the same time, it's like, they lost. Look, it's literally the first time Michael Carrick's lost in both spells as Manchester United manager. He was eight wins, two draws up to last night.
Win is a habit. So but, is losing.
Like, it was action-packed first half stoppage time there ever was.
It was class.
In Premier League, you know? You had a penalty, a red card, another goal. And United just did not take advantage at all of the extra man. It didn't look like there was an extra man on the pitch.
No. Second time this season they've lost against 10, right?
And the goal, though, was stupendous. You know, when he came on...
Did he celebrate against his former club? Yes, he did.
When Anthony Gordon came off for him, you know, Gordon gave one of those, like, come on.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, Arsula kind of stands out, right? So the last time he had one of those moments was the Liverpool draw at the start of the season, remember that?
Yeah,
the 3-3, Rio Ngamo's arrival.
Yeah.
So Arsula, that time, he kind of stands out in that. Like, he looks a bit more awkward than the average Premier League footballer, right? There is something a bit cumbersome about him.
Yeah.
But that goal was totally self-made. Last night.
It's an absolutely amazing goal.
I said it looked like the Makeda goal, not because it was an exact replica, but it was how he was loose with it. So he was kind of almost falling over when he was dribbling. And he just
There's that staggered thing, but at the same time, he was kind of weirdly in control the whole time.
No, he totally was, yeah.
He wins the ball back in his own half there.
Yeah.
Like, he wins it back. And then makes the run down the wing.
Yeah, and he just keeps it in. Now, look, the whole thing, like, Terrell Malacia, as someone texted me last night, may never play for the club again, but wasn't playing much anyway, and comes on because he has to come on because there's an injury to him as Rowley.
Criminal defending.
And I think the thing he does that before that is give the ball away. Puts it out, and then so Arsullo goes past him like he's not there. And then, like, Harry Maguire isn't much more of a training Manigan himself, like, just giving him this angle, it's like, swinging around me there. Arsullo revealed afterwards he was practicing this specific finish in training. Yeah. That, so he's ready to go.
8 out of 10 times.
Harry Maguire, obviously, yesterday.
Had a great day for Harry.
It could have been worse,
actually, sorry. Yeah,
so he's found guilty, but given a suspended sentence of the assault charges.
Over in Greece.
Bribing an official, assault and resisting arrest were the three charges. It was a shorter suspended sentence this time than the previous time. They've immediately appealed, which in Greece means that the sentence gets vacated and they're going to go to the Supreme Court. And it's taken 5 years to get the first retrial done. The statute of limitations is 8, so maybe this never gets heard. All they had to do was apologise for their actions and they would have been like let go. But they were like, no, we're not guilty. So, busy day for him. Mm. Wasn't obviously in court in Greece. His legal representatives were.
Alan on YouTube there is saying United have no squad depth. Subs really weakened the team. That is an issue, isn't it?
You can see the flaws in the squad for sure. Still, like I don't know. Well, if you want to call this a honeymoon, like Carrick's never not been on honeymoon as United manager because it's always been so short. So this is now he's getting into the swing of things, and maybe it's worn off a bit. But there's definitely holes in that squad. Like when you look around, even particularly what came on. Cobbie made him an interesting game because he was kind of poor a lot of the time. He was ceding possession a lot.
Yeah, but that effort he had,
that was like. Peckham against Arsenal. Xerxes'
effort as well.
And that was right before the winner.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But United were very poor, and this is the poor that you'd see later Ten Hag during Amorim poor, where like real lack of creativity,
Van Hal,
no movement. Do you know what it is as well? Very few options on the ball. For the fella on the ball looking up, so where's the movement?
But why, they've obviously invested a huge amount of money in three attacking players, and they have Bruno, so there should be more. Like that's not to do with squad depth. That's like they're relatively well rested comparatively. There's been a couple of games in short succession.
The rest, I don't know if they can deal with more than one game in a week at the moment. Now they have 11 days after their next match, so they might be okay by then.
Qualify for the Champions League next season and end up in a relegation battle at the same time as they're qualifying for the.
They'll have to significantly change the squad again, like to the point where it'll be unrecognisable from the one that say won the FA Cup against Man City.
It's already unrecognisable from that. We went through that team last week.
There's a few hangers on, like, and I think it would be completely obliterated next summer.
I was checking to see what the beef between Carrick and Scholes is. You say it's a 2026 opinion, but from 2015, Michael Carrick, not concerned by Paul Scholes' criticism of Man United. Well, what's this? Scholes had just become a pundit and was given out about Van Gaal. And Carrick is like, don't care. For me, what he said doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I have respect for Scholesy, but he didn't say but. I have respect for Scholesy, and that isn't going to change. It's not an issue, really. So I don't know. Is Scholes as mad as Keane, and he remembers something to do with something and bears the grudge?
Yeah, they would have won league titles together and all that.
It's very odd. Yeah,
need to be pals.
No, that's true. I'm better off.
Are people just annoyed that because it's kind of relentlessly a little bit negative and critical, and people don't like that because. I think he's just analysing the situation in front of him, and he just does it in a grumpy manner, so people.
He's
think
very
he's
sarcastic.
Yeah, but like, so are most people that you work with, like, are no. Do you know
Michael,
what I mean? It was like
most people.
You know what I mean? Just in life, man. Just a certain quick survey in my
70%
head there. It was like it doesn't. You look past that nonsense, right? And then you like, what are they actually saying?
Michael has definitely got something special about him because United have been crap last four games.
It's a really weird sentence. Like, what does he mean?
He means that
Michael's not special.
He means that he's not the same. Yeah, Carrick has feet of clay. This guy's not our guy. Yeah.
It's extremely
Singer
spiteful,
Hulk.
Though. Like he's bearing some type of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could definitely go more extreme, I'd say, if you wanted to.
Yeah, on your public story, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like his manner is poor, but his point I have no problem with. They have been poor in the last four games.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
For me, it's the kissing face emoji is very strange.
That's over. What is
going on?
Yeah, it's funny because when he scored a goal back in the day, he would never like sarcastically kiss to the opposition fans.
He'd keep himself to himself. Kissed by Neville.
That's what it is. He's a keyboard warrior, actually. Scholesy. He's very brave behind emojis.
Did Neville kiss him that one time, or did he kiss Neville?
Yeah, kiss him on the lips. Yeah,
and then he would
get
off me. Yeah.
Maybe it's a subliminal double entendre.
In fairness, he does actually say these things when he's in front of the microphone as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, but the cold kissing thing, I've never seen him pucker up when he has an opinion on camera.
He was in Lissandra Martinez's DMs that time, wasn't he?
But
during
you know,
each other's DMs, anyway.
It's funny how much he's changed. Like, because at the end of his playing career, he was, you know, he's like, I don't like interviews. I won't be doing them. Yeah. You won't see much of me.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of ubiquitous.
Like Michael and Godfather 2. getting sucked back in.
Yeah.
Celtic above Rangers, still 6 points, 5 points behind.
Liam Scales were yet another very important lick on.
Yeah. Man, so 2-1 win for them at Aberdeen last night. Farrell and IRFU focus on fixtures amid. Sorry, does everybody finish with the football? Do we want to move on to this?
I think so.
Farrell and IRFU focus on fixtures amid rumours of Saracens' move. The reporting on this is interesting, I think. You were at the press conference.
I was, yeah.
So Andy Farrell was asked about his future with the rumours of Saracens. And do we want to play this or?
Yeah, it was. I suppose when a question like that is asked, you just expect the kind of basic answer of, we've got a game this weekend, I've got a job here to do, I'm contracted till 2027, that's it. But we'll just play the video. I find it very interesting, the response he gave.
I mean, you'd expect me to say that I'm here to just concentrate on the Six Nations and what will be in the future, but I suppose it's people two and two together and making five with the connections, good friends with the owner, Owen's there, all of that. But so you can see why that's happened. But I suppose we'll sit down and have discussions with the IRFU in the near future, that's for sure.
So obviously Saracens issued a statement, which was like, this is incredibly disrespectful to Brendan Venter, who's coming in as our director of rugby, and no contact has been made. Andy Farrell is contracted by somebody else, and there's nothing to this story.
Yeah.
This was it first appeared in Rugbyrama, and then Rory had it in the Indo with a specific figure of an offer of 1.2 million.
Like with this, there's definitely no smoke without fire. Like that story doesn't come up if there haven't been rumblings.
Well, I'd be cautious about saying no smoke without fire about stuff like, he's saying that those links are, his contract is coming to an end. See, I would take at face value what Saracens have said, and I would take at face value that that I'm sure Andy Farrell is a man in demand. I would also suggest that his contract is up for negotiation.
Yeah,
that's,
totally.
That's the important thing here.
Yeah,
he goes on and says we'll talk about it, doesn't
that's
he?
That's what he said. They'll have discussions after the Six Nations.
Is that a separate answer?
I refuse. No, it's towards the end of that answer. But that was, to me, that kind of felt like a message to the IRFU, not to the public listening. That was like, it was an odd thing to say towards the end that we'll be having discussions. Like, that is known and that has been reported over the last week or so, but it's almost like a reminder to the IRFU that I'm not committed just yet. Like, you know, I imagine he just wants more money, I suppose, and just wants a bit of more security around his job. Like I don't know where his head's at in terms of post World Cup, but I'd imagine he'd want to stay because he's built such a good thing with that group, and you know there are players coming through that he's built good relationships with. There's also a great gig over in Saracens there for him if he wants it. Like I could definitely see him going personally. I know Jerry Torney was on last night and was very much of the opposite opinion, that he'd almost certainly see him stay. It's hard to know where his head is at, but I don't think he put the rumours to bed certainly last night at all.
What are both of your instincts?
Andy Farrell will be the Ireland coach after the World Cup,
yeah,
and he'll be the Lions coach
again,
and he'll still be the Ireland coach after that.
Do you think he'd be coached through to the next World Cup as in 31?
I think certainly more likely than not because of the Lions gig, yeah.
So to be, he's been involved with Ireland since 2016. So it'll be 15 years.
This is results dependent. This is assuming that we stay in the top four teams in the world, right? So if we fall out of that in the World Cup and there's a crushing defeat, and Scotland beat us, everybody's like, I know we've contracted and everything, but like...
Yeah, but you think if it's up to him, so long as it's up to him...
Yeah, if results continue...
Yeah. What about you, Dara?
I've had the feeling just for the last few weeks and things I've picked up in press conferences that he's definitely looking at other options. I just see that Saracens gig is such a nice job for him because obviously his son Owen's there. He will be there. There's talks of him becoming a coach once he retires. he spent a lot of time in Saracens. He mentioned his relationships with people at the club. Like, I could definitely see the merit in leaving, and he's done so much with Ireland. Like, it depends on how the World Cup goes. If it's I don't know, like, I don't know what it would take for him to leave in terms of if they get knocked out in the group stage. Does he just throw the towel in then, and that's the way it ends with Ireland? Or if, you know, they get past the quarterfinal, maybe lose in the semi-final or even the final, does he want to go again? I don't know. Is he finished with international rugby? Because it would be a change back to club, obviously.
I think it would be difficult to do a club job and then come out of the club job for a year and do the Lions, and it's like a proper Lions tour to New Zealand the next time.
That was a proper Lions tour, huh?
Another try.
Against the seventh best or eighth best team in the world.
Did
they win too convincingly? Are you walking in and start winning series? That was exciting.
It was pretty close.
I jumped out of my chair.
For the moment.
Where were you, moment?
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Where were you? I know where you were. All right. Tomorrow night, 10 past 8.
Yeah.
Aviva Stadium.
Off the Ball, Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.
Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio, The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious, modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle, beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.